Good evening. If you'd like to turn over to 1 Chronicles, 4th chapter, I'm going to center most of this lesson around verses 9 through 10 there in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Several years ago, and I won't sing it, but Johnny Cash finished a few lines to a song with these words. He said, "Now I don't blame him because he run and hid, but the meanest thing that he ever did was before he left, he went and named me Sue. Well, he must have thought it was quite a joke, and it got a laugh from a lot of folks. It seems I had to fight my whole life through. Some gal would giggle, and I'd get red. Some guy'd laugh, and I'd bust his head. I'll tell you, life ain't easy for a boy named Sue." Well, in country circles, that song was very popular in its day because it seemed humorous to think of someone naming their son Sue. But as odd as it may be, there are parents that give their children names that are just as peculiar. I can tell you several just in this area because I have access to a lot of names. But there is a lady named Rusty Nail. There is a person named Michael. Their middle name is Try, and their last name is Angle. Lucky for him, he has a brother named Justin Other Angle. So there are lots of names. Maybe you've heard of a woman named Ima Hogg. There are a couple of preachers that I've listened to sermons with the name of Ivan Oder and Harry Pitts. Great names. Shakespeare asked, "What's in a name?" Well, you think of why would anyone do that to their kids? And I don't know, but we do. Maybe that's our only shot we can really take at our kids is giving them those kind of names. But undoubtedly, those kids caused, or those parents caused those children to have some very difficult and uncomfortable moments. Well, that brings us to Jabez here in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And I'll start there in verse 9, and I'll just read through verse 10. It says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." And verse 10 says, "Jabez cried out to God of Israel, 'Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain.'" And it says God granted these requests. Well, that's how 1 Chronicles 4:9 starts with that, by telling us that Jabez was an honorable man. And it says that he was more honorable than his brothers. And then it tells us just how he got to that name, by his mother saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." And that is literally what the word Jabez means in Hebrew, is to cause pain or painful. So this woman had other sons, but there was something in Jabez's birth that hurt her. Maybe she had become injured in the delivery, or perhaps he had just been born in a time that was very difficult. But whatever reason, Jabez's mother was declaring to her family to let the people that she knew and in the village know, to all that lived around them, that her child was a bringer of pain. And he grew up believing that this was his identity. He grew up believing this was his legacy. This is who he was. And every time he looked at his mother, every time he heard his name spoken, every time he would offend someone by his actions or words, it drove home that image in his mind that he was the bringer of pain. He was someone who hurt others, sometimes just by being around. And why bother telling us Jabez's name and the meaning of his name? It seems like every time in God's word that it mentions a person's name and the meaning behind their name, there appears to be a reason. What reason could there possibly be to give this particular name? I believe there is a reason here. The reason is knowing that his name meant, what his name meant, is the key to understanding his prayer. Again, if we look there at verse 10, where Jabez asks God to bless him, to enlarge his territory, to guide him with his hand. And then he ends with this phrase, "Keep me from evil that I might not cause pain." Jabez seems to have understood what many people never comprehend. Bringing pain into other people's lives is a spiritual problem. In fact, when we offend others, we can't be pleasing to God. We can't receive His blessing. We can't take hold of His promises. We can't have His guiding hand in our lives. Jesus goes so far to say in Matthew 5, verses 23 and 24, that if you are offering your gift at the altar and remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. In the New Testament, we get to look inside the church at Corinth. And in the first letter Paul writes to them, we see a group of believers who seem to be intent on hurting each other every time they turn around. They are at each other's throat, seemingly on every issue. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, they're told that when they hurt each other and then partake of communion, that they deeply anger God. So much so that some become sick and some even died. Who caused them to be sick? Well, I believe God did. God brought that to him. Jabez's name was actually a blessing in disguise because it helped him to be sensitive to the fact that he did hurt people. And we all do. Sooner or later, we always come to hurt people. When Jesus established the church, he gave one command, and it was repeated throughout the New Testament. In John 13, 34, he says, "A new command I give you, love one another, just as I have loved you, so you must love one another." And a little later in John 15, 12, Jesus says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." Paul wrote to the church in Galatia in Galatians 5:14 that the entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, John wrote, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who loves not knows not God, for God is love." And again, James sums it up in James 2:8, that if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. Whenever God repeats himself in Scripture, I believe it's because he's trying to drive home a point. Why would he repeatedly drive home to his people that they need to love others? I think the answer is because we don't do that very well. Hurting other people comes all too naturally to us as human beings. A lot of times we hurt people when we're angry. We hurt people because we believe they deserve to be treated that way. Sometimes we do it out of selfishness or pride, and sometimes we offend people without even thinking about it. And we often do that to the people that we love the most. Kids will hurt their parents, friends will hurt friends, husbands will hurt wives, and wives will hurt husbands. There's a story about a couple of kids who were upstairs reading some of their old letters between their parents had written several years ago. And the boy said to the girl, "These aren't the names they call each other now." Well, I don't know which is easier to imagine being called. Another little illustration is there's a German philosopher with the last name of Schopenhauer. And he realized that when he compared the human race, he compared them to a bunch of porcupines huddling together on a cold winter's night. And he says that the colder it gets outside, the more we huddle together for warmth. But the closer that we get to one another, the more we hurt one another with our sharp quills. And in the lonely night of Earth's winter, eventually we begin to drift apart and we wander further out on our own and freeze to death in our own loneliness. Well, that's a pretty dark and pathetic a portrayal of that. But apparently, for Schopenhauer, he had seen much of this play out time and time again by his friends and his neighbors, and this is how he perceived life. So also, I think Jabez had seen enough of this hurting taking place around him, and it was because of him. Well, God warns us as Christians to be sensitive to the pain we cause others. Because if we aren't, we can push other people away from Christ and away from the God we say is love. In Galatians 3:27, there we're told that we are baptized into Christ, that you were clothed yourselves with Christ. And so whenever we as Christians offend others, those we offend sometimes only see Christ. And they say to themselves, this is how Christ's people behave, and I don't want anything to do with him. We would all maybe do well if Jabez was part of our name, if it was Mike Jabez Ellis or Mike the Bringer of Pain Ellis. If we thought about it this way, then maybe we'd be more sensitive in times when we offend those around us. Now, one test to see if you really have the heart of Jabez in this is when I spoke of our tendency to hurt others, did you think of how others have offended you? Or did you think of the last time that you said something that was hurtful to someone else? For Jabez, his name was a blessing to him because he often thought of his sins first. For a spiritual man like Jabez, I believe there may have been another reason for this prayer that he gave. There's a story goes of a camp counselor letting the children or the younger teenagers watching The Passion of the Christ, the film by Mel Gibson, in the camp setting. And when they got to those scenes of the beatings of Christ, a group of three or four girls began to weep uncontrollably. And one of the girls over and over kept repeating, "This is not fair." And the youth counselor said it was unsettling. In a way, though, he said, I was surprised that it didn't affect more of people the same way. He said, I'm surprised that more of the kids and the staff at camp weren't inconsolable, because they had seen the same scene being replayed, all of the pain that our sins have ever caused God. But he said, sometimes you forget that and you gloss over those things. Well, in Genesis 6:6, we're told that God saw the sin of man and in his heart was filled with pain. When you think about it that way, Jabez's prayer, keep me from evil that I might not cause pain, can take on a whole new meaning. Keep me from evil, God, so I won't cause you pain. One scholar looked at 1 John 1:9, where John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And this scholar said that confessing our sins means that we agree with God about the wickedness we have done or thought or said. I believe that we can't truly agree with God about the wickedness of our sins until we truly realize how much our sins cause God pain. There is a focus that we should have as a church that prays that we fight against this kind of spirit, that we are sensitive to others in times instead of being offensive to others, that we might be more sensitive to the pain of our sins that have caused God such sadness. The importance of that prayer is that if we become people who are insensitive to the times when we offend others, and that we would never become a church that becomes insensitive to the pain our sins cause God. If we do that, we risk losing out on being a church that Jesus Christ died to create. There's a last story here, just in closing, of a man that went to visit a church. And this is just an illustration, not a true story. But a man goes and visits a church there, and he pulls in to a parking spot and goes to get out. And just then, another car pulls up beside him and lets him know that I always park in that spot. You took my place. And as the visitor went inside to Sunday school, he found an empty seat and he sat down. And a young lady from the church approached him and stated, "That's my seat. You took my place." And so the visitor is troubled, but he goes on inside and says nothing. And later, as the congregation stood praying for Christ to dwell among them, the visitor stands up and his appearance begins to change. There become horrible scars on his hands and on his sandaled feet. And someone from the congregation noticed and called out, "What happened to you?" And of course, the line ends with, the man said, "I took your place." Well, when we greet together, we do have Christ in our presence. And it's something that we should always be mindful of, just as Jabez was mindful of his name. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, we urge you to not delay. There is no time like the present. In fact, the only time is to become a Christian is the present. And we urge you to do that as together we stand and we sing.